Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace which fills our days, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would help us to be attentive to your words in our spirit. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and minds. Lord, that your still small voice would penetrate the busyness of our lives. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your folder is a sheet. On one side, it's got some fill-in-the-blank sermon notes. On the other side, it has some meditations that you can take home with you and throughout the week go through the scriptures and the questions and allow God to work in your heart as we continue to worship God on a daily basis. If you're listening online, there is a PDF file you can download that has the sermon notes and the meditations. Well, we're almost through the summer, and this is the last Sunday that I'm going to answer questions or ask the pastor almost anything. And our topic today is hope, healing, and the reality of it all. Hope, healing, and the reality of it all. And I believe that these are questions that each of us have in regard to our lives. Or, if not our lives, these are questions that other people are asking that are on the fringe. What is the hope that we're to have? What is the hope that we're to have as we live out our days? So let's just look at the questions that we have. The first one is, how should we view hope today? And is it okay to hope for healing miracles? Is it okay to hope for healing miracles? And then question number two is, how should we deal with relatives that have been toxic to you? How do you deal with relatives or people in general that are toxic to you? In our scripture today, Jesus is walking in the power of the gospel, in the power of the Spirit, and in the other gospels, and it's implied here that Jesus has come to the hometown of Nazareth. And in coming to the hometown of Nazareth, it's implied that he's been healing people, that he's already been doing some amazing teaching. And people are like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And Jesus comes to his hometown and he goes to synagogue like a good Jewish man would in his day. And maybe it's because he's been gone for a while. Maybe it's because he's the town's favorite son. I don't know. But he's asked to read from the scroll of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is one of the longer books in the scriptures. And he unrolls the scroll and he picks out one particular section in Isaiah. Read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. Okay, hold on. As we read this again, I want you to emphasize two letters, M and E. All right? Read it as though you're Jesus. Let's do it again. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, as we look at this, Jesus was doing something quite unique. He was taking these words not as words from the Torah, but as words from God. As words from God. Getting back to our questions, when we look at our questions, we have to look at that first question, and it really needs to be broken down into two parts. First, how should we view hope today? How should we view hope today? And then, is it okay to hope for healing miracles? As I read this scripture, there are two basic forms of hope. There's this first form of hope, which is the hope for the future. I mean, you know, the eternal kind of hope, that kind of future. Where are we going to end up when we leave this world? And then there's that kind of hope that people have for each day. I hope it doesn't rain today. I hope so-and-so calls me. I hope the Lions win a playoff game this year. Right? Those are those kind of hopes we have. Or I hope that God speaks to me today. Those are the kind of hopes that we have on a day-to-day basis. The two kinds of hope are one for the future and two for today. In today's scripture, Jesus claims to be the fulfillment of God's promise to the Israelites. The hope that the Israelites have for their future. Proclaim the good news and proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord. The Israelites have been waiting for this to be fulfilled, and they have hope in its eternal destination. You see, the Israelites knew the scripture was speaking of the one whom God would send, the Messiah, the one who would accomplish all of these things, the good news, setting prisoners free, sight to the blind, oppression removed, proclaiming the year of the Lord. And Jesus then says, after reading this, ready? This has been fulfilled in your hearing. This has been fulfilled in your hearing. Now imagine you're sitting there. You know the scrolls. You've heard these verses before. And you've been waiting for someone like a King David, a mighty king on a white stallion, coming in with his sword drawn and saying, I'm here not only to proclaim the good news, I'm here to set the prisoners free, to give recovery to the sight of the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord. But it's not a King David saying that in your hearing these words have been fulfilled. It's a guy who grew up in the town. Isn't he Joseph's son? Isn't he just a carpenter? And he says, I am the one who is here to proclaim the good news. I'm going to set you free. And yet the response of the people was the same kind of response that Jesus would often get from other people. Some would go on to believe in Jesus as their Savior. Others would simply go on. So we have to note that one of our future hope is established in this, that it is our belief in Jesus that gives us hope for an eternal future. It was in this moment that Jesus proclaimed it. Now, we have the benefit of knowing today what Jesus went on to do in regard to his teaching, his healing, and finally, the ultimate sacrifice on the cross to heal our broken relationship with God, to bring that divide together again, to make a bridge to cross so that if you believed, you could be in relationship with God once again. So our ultimate or greatest hope is that because we believe in Jesus, we are promised by Jesus when we leave this world to be with him for all eternity. He says where there is no more pain, there is no more tears, there is no more sorrow, completely whole in body and spirit. So our ultimate hope is based on Jesus saying, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Can I have an amen? Amen. Can I have an amen? Praise the Lord, right?
Praise the Lord.
So listen, friends, I don't fear death. Although I'm not looking forward to leaving my loved ones or even the possibility of looking at this process of dying, I don't fear death because I know whose I am. I know who I belong to and where I am going because of his promise. This hope in Jesus for me is a constant and allows me to live and to trust him for my life. Whatever circumstances may arise. And that's my hope for the future. My hope for today, or our hope for today, is displayed in that Jesus came down to be with us, to be with you and to be with me. And today it is God, the Holy Spirit, who resides in all who say they believe. Our hope for each day is that the Holy Spirit walks with us through all our days because God loves us. And God wants us to be with Him. So whether the Lions win or not, my hope for each day is that I know that God is going to work with me and help me to become not only a better person, but to become more holy, more loving, more kind. Now, the second part of the question is this: should we hope for healing miracles in our lives? And here's my one-word answer. Ready? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do I receive healing from God for myself or for others every time? In three words, I have an answer. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe, maybe not. There are times when I have received emotional or physical healing, and there are times I have wondered if God is even listening. God, how come I'm not feeling the healing today? And the real problem is this. It's what I'm thinking. It's my understanding. When healing doesn't come, I don't know what God is wanting to accomplish through the fact that I'm not being healed as opposed to the fact that I am being healed. What is God trying to accomplish through the situation I'm experiencing, whether it's an emotional or spiritual or a physical brokenness? What is God doing through that? Is there something He wants me to learn? And so when we go to God, we have to remember that sometimes God heals us and sometimes God doesn't. God is God and I am not, and I don't always understand. In fact, probably most times I don't understand really what it is that God is trying to do in my life and how God is going to use this brokenness in my life. You see, could God be allowing the process He put in the places in our body? Could God use the processes He put in place in our body to heal us? I mean, when you look at the human body, we can do a whole bunch of stuff to it. And we can still live relatively well. Could our lifestyle be such that our bodies can't do the healing it normally should? And the answer is yes. For example, there was this guy I knew a long time ago. He never ate anything good. He didn't exercise. He smoked and he drank to excess. Do you think he lived to a ripe old age? Not really. He didn't. He could have lived 20, 30 years longer, but he did not because of what he did to his body. Now, there are some people who are just gifted genetically. You know, I had a landlady in college. She would go for a walk every day, 1 or 2 miles. But she would come back and she'd have her cigarette and her 3 fingers of brandy or 2 fingers of brandy. And great lady, she had the scratchy voice. And I never knew how old she was. I lived with her for 3 years, rented a room from her. And I took her to get her taxes done. And so I'm sitting in a room and the tax guy who's across a wide hall comes and gets her. And I'm just minding my own business. And he says, "So when were you born?" Bing. Her son and daughter, who called often and got to know me as I got to know them, I eventually asked the question, "How old is your mom?" And he would laugh, or she would laugh. She was 80 years old. She was 80 years old. She looked like she was 90, deep wrinkles. But genetically, she lived. And then her daughter died. And you could see that downturn in her life. Got a little bit more hunched over. Sometimes the way we live affects how our body works. Sometimes the things we experience affects how our bodies work. But God has given us amazing bodies. But at some point, what we do to it can break the healing process that God has already put in place for us. And sometimes, frankly, we block God's healing because of sin in our lives, because of disobedience in our lives. James writes that the prayer of a righteous man will heal you. The prayer of a righteous man will heal you. So when Jesus prayed in the gospel accounts, He prayed for healing. They were healed because why? Jesus was a righteous man. In fact, Jesus was the only righteous man that we find in the Bible. The only one who lived without sin, without being disobedient to God. And of course, it seems to me that the faith of the one who is asking for healing, oftentimes in the gospel accounts, rose to that level of faith, that level of trusting that God could heal them of whatever their affliction was. You see, they were not double-minded in believing that God could do what God said he would do. Yet oftentimes, sin in our lives draws us further away from God. Or sometimes we're doubtful that God can even do what God says he will do, and we don't trust God to heal us. The bottom line is this. We need to note that God may allow healing or not allow healing for reasons we cannot understand. For reasons we cannot understand. We're not going to find out until we reach the promised land, until we reach heaven's gate and we have that conversation. You know, remember back when God, why didn't I heal you? And God's going to answer that question and the light is going to go on and we're going to say, oh, that makes perfect sense now. The second thing, or the second bottom line, is God gives us freedom to live as we choose to live. And our choices dictate how we might function in this lifetime. Our choices dictate in how we will function in this lifetime. If we live life on the down low and we don't take care of ourselves, what do you think we're going to experience? Even though some people will eat everything green in their life, exercise twice a day, drink pure water, never around smoke. Well, they're still going to experience some affliction, aren't they? But hopefully, because they've taken care of their body, they'll rebound more quickly. The choices that we make will dictate how we live or how we function in this lifetime. And then thirdly, a lifestyle of sin can be blocking the healing we desire. A lifestyle of sin can be blocking the healing that we look for. And I'm not into formulas for healing, but one of the things I've come to recognize is that if we're going to go to God for healing, we might want to take a few minutes to confess any known sin in our life, to truly repent of our disobedience to God, to get us so that we are more on a holy plane with God. That's one of the things that I have noted in my life, that healing comes when we tend to reorient ourselves, to confess our sins, and to draw near to God. I'm not saying that every time God's going to heal you, but I've noticed that the prayer of a righteous man will make you well. Now, when we go on to the second question again is, how should we deal with relatives that have been toxic to you? The person who wrote this question comes to a certain understanding by writing, well, the person who wrote this question wrote along with it, I'm sorry, there were two questions that two different people wrote. And the person who wrote, before we get to the second question, wrote this question about hope and healing, wrote this also. A few days before a mother was sick, the daughter prayed for her mother's healing, and yet 2 days later she dies. She went on to write, God had told her she would be healed and be better. Who hasn't healed for a loved one who is really hurting or near death, and they died? They go on to write, it took several weeks to realize that God had answered their prayer for health and happiness. Their mother was now completely healthy and completely happy in heaven with her Savior. We have to remember that the ultimate healing means that we need to leave this world. That we need to leave this world. Now, as we look at the last question, how should we deal with relatives that have been toxic to you? At this point, I'm going to understand that it's not a personality conflict. Now, sometimes there are personality conflicts, right, with our relatives, and we're glad that we only see them once a year. at either Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like that. And if it's the case, I would pray that God would reveal anything in my life that might be causing this person's anger or anxiety or toxicity to develop between us. Sometimes we're unaware of some of the things we do that just make other people angry. And we have to ask God, God, reveal to me if I'm a part of the problem. Right? But assuming that the onus of the toxicity is truly from the other person, then I would say this. We need to note, pray for wisdom in how to deal with this person. Pray for wisdom in how to deal with this person. Sometimes there are things that we can do. And I don't want to say walk on eggshells, but I want to say, you know, ask God for guidance in how to deal with this person. The second thing is to pray for understanding in why they are the way they are. Pray for understanding. Sometimes when we begin to understand another person's pain, another person's brokenness, our hearts soften toward them. And I think that's a God thing. God wants us to be able to love one another, right? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as yourself. And so there's going to be people, and we need to understand that they have had real brokenness in their life. For instance, there are kids that are raised in homes where they're battered and they're abused. And they become adults. And what do you think their lifestyle is going to look like? There are some whose gentleness and spirit will allow them to move through that kind of a childhood and be okay as an adult. But then for the others, their brokenness, the suffering that they experienced as kids is going to be displayed as adults. And so when we truly understand a person's background, where a person is hurting or why they're hurting, that gives us a more gentle spirit toward them, to love them. And then the third thing I would note is pray for healing. Pray for the healing that they need to overcome what causes them to be in such pain. Pray for them. God says to pray for your enemies. And I don't know that this person's an enemy, but to pray for them, to pray for healing, to pray that God would bring healing in their life. Sometimes in the way they find comfort, a person who is raised in this lifestyle, the way they find comfort in their pain is only, the only way to live is to know and respond to others with anger, resentment, antagonism, or wrath. This child who was treated poorly as a child, that's the only thing they know. And it seems like nothing you do or say will change how they choose to act. Again, at this point, all I can do is say to pray for them. Let your acts be acts of kindness and love, and if need be, simply keep your time with them at a minimum. I know God would want to use you, but if you don't feel comfortable or don't think that you can be that person that God needs you to be for them, then just keep your time with them at a minimum. At a minimum. When you're together, I would say be prayed up. As Paul says, put on the armor of God to not allow their issues to change who God created you to be. But remember, and you always have to remember this, they are a child God created. They are created by God. A person of sacred worth to God, just as we are. And we should try to treat them as such. If that's all you can do, then that's probably the best thing you can do, is to remember that they are God's child too. It's not easy, but it is God's way. Pray for wisdom, understanding, and healing, and note that your prayer for them, that you pray for them as they are a child of sacred worth to God. That they are a child of sacred worth to God. So our hope is for an eternal future. Believe in Jesus, that's secure. Our hope for today is that God walks with us and that God equips us each and every day to face the things that we need to face. When you run into people with anger and resentment, simply pray for them. Pray for understanding and wisdom for yourself. But pray for them because they're a sacred child of God too. Because that's what God requires of us all, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Not easy, but it is required by God. Amen? Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you for your love and grace, and ask in Jesus' name that you would help us to be your people, that you would help us to lead lives that are pleasing to you, that you would indeed use us in those moments when we encounter difficult people, that you would remind us of our future hope, that you would remind us of a future healing when we leave this life and go to the next because of our belief in Jesus, because we desire to follow Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you for touching each one of us. And, Lord, we open our lives that you would touch us even more, that your Holy Spirit would fill us to be the people of God that you have called us to be, that you might be glorified in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,